This is the story of Mad Mike McGurk, one of Australia's fictitious great sheep king. He owned a sheep station the size of Switzerland, and he ran it for many years, but towards the end of his life, he came to understand that fairness was the most important thing, being able to divide things equally so that everyone else looking at it can say, well, that's fair. That's what he thought fairness was. And so towards the end of his life, he had to actually, he called his children to him and he said, look, I've got a task for you. I want to check who's the fairest person, and that fair person I'll give the running of my sheep station the size of Switzerland to you. And because you're fair, you'll look after all my children. And this is a problem he posed. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific and give teaching tips. This, of course, is a fictitious teaching scenario to teach about nothing more than the what happens when you dissolve salt, amazingly. So, but if you started off a lesson today, kids, we're going to learn about salt, things would drop off. But if you actually start off and try and reduce the abstract overload, rather than a person, give a name, give a situation. And of course, people ask the question, oh, were they boys, were they girls? We don't know, they're just children. In fact, it's only two of them. And so let's continue this story a little bit, and you'll see how we actually sort of tease out, not so much about salt dissolving, but what salt dissolving does. So we'll continue along, and of course there's various steps along the way here to make things easy to teach. I'll use not table salt, but copper sulfate. And this is a brilliant blue, attractive, large, or you can get them in as a large crystal. And the advantage of this is that when you do dissolve it, it dissolves into the solution, and the color, the richness of the color, gives you the concentration. So something which is very concentrated, you can actually see it. So it's very dark blue. Something which is very low concentration, you can just barely see a blue tinge to the water. So this is a whole series of things with malice of forethought, as my our lecturer used to say, without malice of forethought. But the malice of forethought so far is the selection of a story with nominal things, a way of leaving the story incomplete. So when questions are asked, you can then say, well, this is just a story. This is an educational story. So we don't know the gender of the two children involved. And so this, it's all obviously calculated to include the maximum number of people possible, and actually sort of address something, an issue that the children might have. So you start off with and say that he had a crystal, this blue crystal. You don't tell them exactly what the crystal is. It's a blue gem, and your job as children is to divide. My children is to divide this up into two equal halves, and I've got this way that I can look and measure that they're two equal equal halves. I want you to divide it up into two equal halves, and go along, you get the overall set of suggestions that you could cut it in half, very carefully cut it in half. And of course, there are issues about how carefully you can cut this in half. And so this is sort of gets to a fundamental idea in chemistry of solutions. A solution is a convenient way of handling quantities of chemicals, because you can control the concentration and therefore control the volume and control reactions. So cutting in half is just the first start of why you want to dissolve a salt in water in the first place, or dissolve anything in water to control the amount. But let's getting back to it. you discuss that and discuss various things. The other idea is that you could crush it up very finely and then measure the two masses. At this stage, leaving the first copper sulfate crystal, so if you have some copper sulfate and dissolve it and then let it evaporate or and collect the crystals will grow quite large, and there's a little bit of an art to growing actually fairly large crystals. So you could crush it up and then divide the two very evenly that way. And at this stage, you can show the actual pre-crushed or the crushed or powdered copper sulfate that you get in a bottle of copper sulfate, a little pile of powder, and you can sort of look at how you could divide the two and how you could be sure without measuring the two that you'd done that exactly. And there might be ideas of dividing it out into a long row and various things like that. and then after a while, you can actually say, well, what we can do is put that entire copper sulfate into some water and see if it dissolves. And the way you do this is a very interesting way. So you have your copper sulfate crystal, your pile, another pile which you've tried to divide, so the students can look back and see, divide the pile, go backwards. So you're not treating them as stupid, but you're just subtly reducing the cognitive load for them. And then you have your bottle and your beaker. And what you do here is an opportunity to teach concentration. You get your beaker and you put a pinch in so you can just see it. And then you put another pinch in and you can see, as you put more in, the actual depth of blue blue increases. And at this stage, you've got a beaker of blue copper sulfate. And you can then divide the two out very equally. And at this stage, you can see if you can pour the two out, or you can show them a burette, which is a long glass tube with a measuring marks on it, and release it at a tap at the bottom with very precision marks and put it at the back. And then this is a way that you can get two solutions of copper sulfate, separate beakers, into separate fresh beakers, the copper sulfate. Now, at this stage, you can go back and say, start off initially with a very high concentration, a very small volume, or you can build up a large volume, which filled up pretty much the entire volume of your burette. You'll have to look up on the internet exactly what a burette is. So a burette is a long glass cylinder, about a meter long, with meters on it and a tap at the bottom, and a very finely drawn glass tube at the bottom. So you can actually measure out equal volumes right down to the drip, drip in it. So you have your, and this last thing I was talking about is that by selecting a low concentration, you have a large volume, therefore a smaller error. And at this stage, you have to boil your copper sulfate, or not boil it, evaporate your copper sulfate, so you eventually do get a crystal. Now, one of the things you can therefore show, and this is using your trusty microwave oven and say a foam cup, you can pour equal amounts in just for demonstration, and heat this up, slowly heat it up, and then get the copper sulfate. You've got to put a small covering over your foam cup. So what you can do is you can put a lid on the foam cup, a coffee cup lid, or a piece of glad wrap or cling film, and then press small holes into the side of through your foam to allow the air to escape, and put it in the microwave oven and heat it up, and you can see from the solution comes the powder again. This closes the cycle. So this is a whole series of observations, and of course they have the story made out, and in the background you are teaching concentration and solution. Now there's another series of basic lessons for it. Now thinking about it, well, what we're talking about here is, although people may already know this, one of the things that in terms of teaching solutions and chemicals is that the important thing about a solution with a chemical is it's a way of holding a precise, very small amount of chemical, and that's the sort of take-home message. And you can actually say it, but without the context of a problem, this is just an idea which doesn't have an abstract scaffold to hold that information, so it's less memorable. Now, the interesting thing is that I've been able to, I hate to say it, but it's better than nothing. I've been able to run tests and see people's retention of this information, this basic information, and can they apply it? And the interesting thing is that there's, I suppose, a middle to low band of people, whether it's engagement or ability, which this is an effective path. And it's also an effective path for teachers listening in to understand the use of a solution. And then some people will go back and ask you about Mad Mike McGurk, what happened to her, and you can actually give this as a sort of a moral thing, that Mad Mike McGurk was in a process of learning, and he really appreciated the problem-solving ability of his kids and being able to actually work out the best problem, the best way that the problem was solved. He was learning and interested in learning, coming up with new ways, which is obviously in conflict to a lot of these older people who are stuck in their ways and are not interested in the solutions of the ideas of younger people. So that's the theory on many levels of selecting to teach solutions in this way. This is a modelling a fairer social ideal, actually removing any sort of prejudices that you have there, making it very concrete, and it costs you nothing to make it concrete, and actually as teachers you can actually get down to the basics of solution, and of course selecting your first experience, moving it, shifting a little bit, because people's experience of salt or solutions is that you visually can't tell the actual concentration. You can definitely tell it if you add too much to a food or to a taste. This is Peter Hill Explains. Thanks for listening, and in the meantime, keep on thinking and teaching science.